ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. For this year, you could call them the Buffalo Blue Jays. The Jays will play home games at Solin Field, where their AAA team plays. At least the first two home games, Wednesday and Thursday against the Nationals, will be played on the road while the Buffalo Stadium is prepared for play. The other 26 major league teams open the season today with the hope that positive COVID-19 tests will be kept to a minimum. ESPN's June Lee.
The entire foundation of this season and whether or not we can pull this off, have baseball for a 60-game season is completely dependent on whether or not these players feel confident in their abilities to stay healthy.
June Lee on Golic and Wingo. A triple header of openers on ESPN starting at 4 Eastern with the Braves and Mets. That'll be followed by the Brewers and Cubs, then the Angels and A's. Jets safety Jamal Adams tells the New York Daily News that coach Adam Gase isn't the right leader for the team. Adams is looking for a new contract or a trade.
Whether you're taking in your favorite lookout or lawn chair, sitting on your porch or in the park, Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Bars will help you make the most of your outdoor time. Enjoy a creamy, crunchy, sweet and salty bar wherever you are.
This is your chance to have a little Friday fun. I want your sales pitch. I want you to tell me why your favorite Major League Baseball team is going to win it all this year and why I should jump on the bandwagon now. I'm looking for a bandwagon baseball team. It's First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and you can give me your pitch on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'm Jason Fitch. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. I want your best sales pitch. And look, at some point this becomes about the fact that I just want to have a winner to root for. It's a short season. I'm more excited for this than I have been in a long time for Major League Baseball. A lot of you guys on Twitter, because I have so many Raiders followers in my mentions in general because of my fandom, have told me I should go with the Dodgers, get the stay on the West Coast with it. I don't know. You know, the Dodgers get close, but they don't win at all. So I'm looking for that opportunity to jump on the bandwagon where I can say I like this band before anybody else did, and then I can still feel cool in the process. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial, proud to be a partner with the small business experts at SCORE. Find a mentor today at score.org. So I want your best pitch on why I should root for your team. And you guys can get as crazy and as wild as you want. I hear that Gabe has got an interesting pitch for me. So, Gabe, give me what you got, man. What's your best pitch on why I should root for your favorite team?
You're okay. What team has the best or most used to playing without fans? It'll be the Miami Marlins, right? So they're already ahead in that category. They're more comfortable with playing in empty arenas, empty stadiums. And with this young roster, if they come out hot, they have a chance, to maybe make that push with the expanded playoffs and get into that 16. Now, no other Major League Baseball team other than the Marlins has never lost a playoff series. Every time they make the playoffs, they win the World Series. So that's a fact.
Gabe coming in hot with the last one. Now you've got me intrigued. You're right. I mean, who knows playing in front of nobody better than the Marlins? And they've never lost a playoff series. Come on now. I mean, that's actually tempting. And you make a great point about playoff expansion because, remember, we are going to see an expanded playoff. Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball Commissioner, last night during the Yankees national game on ESPN, talked about the new playoff format. If you don't know, check it out.
Well, we're excited about it. We think it's an opportunity for baseball to have three great days filled with baseball right at the beginning of the postseason. We think the format is especially good given our shortened season this year. I think it'll be great for fans and great for the players.
Well, and I think it is great for fans, obviously. Expanded playoffs might help some of you guys with your case. I mean, Gabe makes a good point. All the Marlins have to do is sneak in, and then historically, because they got in through expanded playoffs, it doesn't matter. Historically, they make a difference. Greg in Ontario, man, I just hear Ontario right now. My heart breaks for Canadians everywhere that love the Blue Jays so much. Greg, give me your best pitch. What you got?
Jason, listen, people are sleeping on the Blue Jays, but we just got a brand-new home. We're pumped about it. We got young arms. We got Nate Pearson, an elite hitter. We got an all-star infield, or at least their dads were all all-stars. We're going to have a young team. They're going to be fresh by the time the playoffs come around. We're going to sneak into the playoffs. We're going to run the table. Canada's getting their third World Series, baby.
Oh, look at that. A little bit of confidence. I feel like the Raptors have given Toronto in general a little bit different swagger. A city I love, by the way. And if you missed the news, Toronto's going to be playing their home games now in Buffalo. They didn't want to go to the AAA affiliate stadium, but it looks like that's the best situation for them moving forward. And again, we have another caller telling me sneak into the playoffs. Maybe that's the key here. It's like I'm looking for a team that surprises everybody to sneak into the playoffs. Bob in Chicago, what you got, man? What's your pitch on why I should root for your Major League Baseball team?
It's got to be the White Sox. I mean, you take a look at their pitching staff, which is going to improve dramatically with Rodon coming back. I mean, imagine how good they – well, regardless of the pitching, their lineup is really their strength. I mean, it's going to be a minor version of Murderer's Row when you take a look at
– Well, we lost him a little bit there. But, again, if you haven't caught the news, starting August 17th, I'll be back with Sarah Spain, Spain and Fitz, coming at you on ESPN Radio, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Sarah's a massive Cubs fan. I'm not sure that I have the guts, let's say guts, to go in as a White Sox fan. Kevin in Chicago, at least try and write this ship here. Give me the sales pitch of Chicago, so maybe this one will align with Sarah more.
Right. Jason, thanks for having me on. First time caller, long time listener. And I got to agree with your wonderful co-host, Sarah. If you're a sucker for history and tradition, there's really no other team than the Chicago Cubs to jump on the bandwagon for. You don't want to go to the East-West Coast. Those teams will sell you heartbreak. And if you look back to Game 7 in 2016, David Ross hit a home run that really propelled the team to a win there, and now he's leading the helm at the manager position. So if that doesn't tell anything about winning, I don't know what does. And then last thing before I hang up, Jason, you actually came on my radio show, WGBK 88.5, The Final Fantasy in Glenview, Illinois, a year and a half ago. So I want to say thank you for that, and it's cool that I got to be on your show today. I'll hang up and listen and hear what you got to say.
Well, Kevin, hey, thanks for having me on, and hit me up. I'd love to come on again. I love getting to talk to different stations across the country. It's one of my favorite things to do. And also, humble brag story, but when I was playing with the band Perry, we played Wrigley Field twice. And the second time, I had to find a sneaky way to steal some of the ivy off the wall because you're not allowed to do that. So I had to wait till the security guards weren't around. I've got a little piece of ivy at the house that I stole from Wrigley Field. Now I can admit it. So, that is a little bit of a moment there. Humble brag story, I know. But still, come on. Gives me at least a tie to it. Bill in Georgia. Bill, give me your – in Georgia, all right. Give me your pitch for why I should jump on your favorite team.
I mean, it's the Braves because you want excitement. You got, they're young, they're fast. You got Albies, Acuna, and then you also got young with power with Riley as well. And they got young arms. And anybody that makes it out of the NL East is going to be one of the favorites, whether it's first, second, or in the wild card with these expanded playoffs, because they are an exciting team and they have a brutal schedule playing the AL East and the NL East.
Oh, look, I love the call on the Braves. I feel like the last couple of years we've been saying they're ahead of schedule. So now do we just get to say they're on schedule? I mean, you're right. It's a young team. It's a dynamite team. And Nashville is a big Atlanta Braves city. So, again, there's a decent sales pitch on that. Jay in Wisconsin, what do you got? What's your pitch?
Well, in all apologies to the Chicago Cubs fan, they're not winning it. The Brewers are. The Brewers are loaded, in my opinion. We've got arguably one of the best players who probably should have been two-time MVP in Yelich. We've got, by all accounts, one of the best managers in that the September managers in council. We've got Stearns, who's noted for reviving careers in Milwaukee. We've got one of the better – he's starting on the team for the very first year at here at second base. We got one of the better ace stars in Woodruff at pitching. One of the better relievers in Hader. Knebel's back. And I think we signed Abascal in the offseason. We got playoff experience. We've been there the last 2 years, played meaningful baseball the last 3 years. Stearns is noted for picking up these pieces and excel in Milwaukee. What's stopping us from not taking it this year?
That's a good point. It's also a beautiful stadium that I love. And the Calderon Club, I talk about it all the time. My favorite restaurant in America is this little Italian place called the Calderon Club, downtown Milwaukee. So if I become a Brewers fan, I can go hang out with Gino, eat at Calderon Club all day, and then go to a game. I mean, that's a strong, strong sales pitch. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're having a little bit of fun today, obviously, and it's a Friday show. I like to bring a little fun into it, like to have a little energy, and we're giving baseball a little love, something I don't think happens enough across ESPN. Unfortunately, we don't talk enough baseball, and I want to give everybody the chance to give their sales pitch. Now, part of the conversation about baseball yesterday wasn't just opening day. It was about what was happening socially within the games. I mean, we've talked so much about what was going to happen for NFL clubs and were players going to stand or kneel during the anthem. We saw several players kneeling before or during or after the anthem in Major League Baseball. We saw BLM on the mound. We saw the Rays tweeting about Breonna Taylor. In fact, Mookie Betts, the Dodgers star and now very, very rich, talked about the power of players kneeling before the game and really what it meant for Dodgers players.
It just shows unity. I think everybody's on board with what's going on in the world. We have to make some change, and you know it starts here, and we have to do our part. And you know, it's amazing to know that everybody here is on board with something. And like I said, we have to find a way to make change, and this is the first step.
Unity is such a smart way for Mookie Betts to say it, and this is my reminder, as I constantly try and say to you guys. Through all of this, athletes provide us a ton of entertainment, but they are still human beings, right? And as human beings, they have the right to come out and express their opinions. Now, that does mean that you as consumers have the right to say you don't want to consume. Fine. But no different than if you go to a concert, and when you're at that concert, the artist takes a moment in the middle to tell you what they're passionate about, whether it's faith or the military or whether it's different rights, whatever it might be in the past. We see it in concerts all the time, and you just sort of accept it. For some reason, I think we've been resistant to allowing players to speak their minds. I believe they have the opportunity to do that. But then there's also a question about where the impact is. How important is it, and how much impact is it making? LeBron James had a very important statement he made at his press conference about what it's like for him and really the term movement.
I love the game. I love the NBA. I love what we've built, not only here in America, but all over the world. I think this is the most precious, beautiful, impactful game in the world. But a lot of people kind of use this analogy, talking about Black Lives Matter as a movement. It's not a movement. When you're black, it's not a movement. It's a lifestyle. We sit here and say it's a movement, and okay, how long is this movement going to last? Don't stop the movement. No, this is a walk of life. When you wake up and you black, that is what it is. It shouldn't be a movement. It should be a lifestyle. This is who we are, and we understand that, and we know that for one step that someone else might have to take, or for one yard someone else may have to take, and we know we got to take 5 more steps, and we know we got to take 10 more yards to get to the end zone. I mean, we understand that. We know that. So, but also what makes us, a strong, powerful, it makes us so unique and unified is that we'd have so much hardships in our life, either from personal experiences or loved ones or reading history or seeing videos, Rodney King, just being a part of just the communities that you in where you just racially profiled from the time you come out of the womb. So it's not a movement. I don't like the word movement. Unfortunately, in America and society, there ain't been no damn movement for us. There ain't been no movement. We land in this with justice for Breonna Taylor. We're going to continue to harp on that.
So eloquently, there was some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And it's amazing to hear him speak. And this is a reminder that even though he chose not to be part of the jersey information that we knew, the opportunity to put words or names on the back of jerseys, he wanted to make his statement his own way. And he's doing that in front of the mic. Again, that's some Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. So the question is, what impact are sports stars having on the push for social justice? It was an interesting conversation that was had today on First Take between Jalen Rose, David Jacoby, and Doug Lambeau.
They're having a major impact, and I'm very proud to see the progression of sports continue to be something that hopefully our society can mimic in a lot of ways. Powerful people doing powerful things in order to institute change by using their voices. We've seen it happen with Bubba Wallace in NASCAR, as they will not fly the Confederate flag anymore. Unfortunately, he still had to show up to work with a noose in his garage for that to take place. And that sport continues to have a long way to go. We see the NBA, as LeBron James mentioned, with Black Lives Matter being on the court, messages on jerseys, messages on shoes. Same with players in the WNBA who even opted out of playing this year for social justice issues. It just reminds me of how far we've come as a country to where initially we were able to railroad the peaceful protest by Colin Kaepernick and allow a lot of people to say it was about the flag when really it was about social injustice and police brutality to people of color. And as we see all of these names that continue to be influenced in a negative light by police brutalities, murders, and killings and lynchings, we now see that sports has a large voice, and I appreciate athletes using their platform.
One thing that I found particularly interesting about what he said was the semantics, and he really brought to light something that I hadn't considered, and that was the word movement. Because I'd always used the word movement. We talked about the civil rights movement, but the idea that he was saying is this civil rights movement sort of had a beginning and an end. And that this is a lifestyle, this is a lifelong commitment. And I think that's important, especially for people, white people such as myself, who have taken to the streets to fight against social injustice in numbers that we haven't seen before. If you think about the civil rights movements in the 60s, there was not a lot of people with my skin tone out in the streets protesting. In the last month or two, you have seen a lot of that. But I think it's important that that passion and that engagement, that doesn't die down over time. That we don't look at the release of the tape of George Floyd's murder and then over time, a passion starts to dwindle, especially from people like white people like myself. And I think that he's saying that as a person of color, it is a lifestyle that he doesn't have a beginning, middle, and end to. And I think that people like myself need to commit the same way that he does.
Well, and look, there's also a fear. I mean, he's expressing the insecurity that a movement will imply something temporary, that soon as we get something shiny and new that will distract us away from it, we will forget the gains that are made. We'll forget these conversations. And so he's trying to capture it that it is truly a Black experience that you face every day. It's sort of like the distinction from racism on a personal level versus a systemic level. It's one thing to sort of change an attitude or debate something personally. It's another when you're enduring racism, not just sort of in around the sport, but it's also through when you're trying to buy a house or get a car or try to find a school for your kids. So there's a systemic component to it. And athletes are uniquely situated to discuss aspirational society where we do work together because they are constantly involved in a team environment. They are looking to work with different people, different backgrounds for a common goal. And that's their existence. And at the professional level, this is day in and day out. They're also an environment that's obsessed with equity, because you have rules that have to apply across the board. They have to unite around this idea that we must enforce these rules fairly for both teams or our sport loses fidelity and integrity. And so when you're in that environment where you're working with different people for a common goal and you're worried about equity and the rules being fair, you are absolutely qualified to engage on these issues and set the example. And they're finding their voice because in part, when we were going through this pandemic, there was a sort of an open door where athletes were able to engage on social issues in a way that was more palatable or acceptable because as a human race, we came together around our own survival. And I think it opened the door to athletes to realize that they have a platform and that people are paying attention, but it was in context that people were more accepted to. Now we're getting back to identity-based activism, and that didn't go away because the camera started turning back to the inequities once we started coming out of our isolation. So now we see that these athletes are confident and be able to engage on that level. And I think you're seeing that exponential factor happening now as we speak much more about it and planning to try to do more about it too.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. And it's interesting because at some point there will have to be a question about the impact. Because what is this all for? Is it right now to continue conversation? Is it to raise awareness? Is it to raise debate? Is it to raise action? And then what action comes from it? We don't know the answers to that. But what I do know is that as a society as a whole, eventually we get tired of seeing the same things. It no longer impacts us, right? How shocking something is one time is no longer shocking when you've seen it the 100th time. And things that you were appalled by a generation ago don't really matter that much now, right? The way that we see things sort of changes as we see it more frequently. So as much as we see right now examples of people talking about social justice, as much as we see people taking a knee and what spins out of that from Twitter, even if it's from bots or how many of those followers are real, I don't know. But as charged as the conversation is right now, will it be as charged in 3 or 4 months when more and more people are doing it? I don't think so. I think eventually it all sort of numbs. And when it numbs, what are players going to do to continue to get their message out in a way that makes impact? That's going to be a difficult question to answer, because what we're seeing right now is a chapter in all of this change, but I don't think it's the final chapter. So how the book evolves and what comes next and different ways that impact is actually made is going to be a real conversation, because as much as we can talk about what we're seeing today, as much as we can talk about the continued conversation that's coming from it and the good that I believe is coming from right now, uncomfortable and awkward conversations across the board that are helping people evolve and think of things differently, as much as I believe those things are all true right now, I don't believe that they will be true in 6 months if we're simply doing the same things. How this will turn into actual action is a question I don't have the answer for. But I can trust and believe at some point that the people that are passionate about the action they're taking are going to continue to dig to find those answers, because it's important to the causes that they're willing to sacrifice so much for. So First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. Obviously, you guys have been chiming in. What under the radar team has a real shot in a shortened season? Going to get a little thought there. Plus, how concerning is Juan Soto's positive test for Major League Baseball? Got a lot to get into across the baseball landscape as we do a baseball-heavy show today on First Take. Your take. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys can hang out with us on the show, Penzo Performance Line. Don't forget to tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. Get you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Go back and listen the last few days. There's been some great baseball info on the podcast as they get ready for the season, as we've all been getting ready for the season. So to get some insight on that, I want to get some expertise. We're going to hop straight over to the Shell Penzoa Performance Line, where ESPN Major League Baseball reporter Alden Gonzalez joins us. Alden, thank you so much for your time. I hope you and yours are safe. You were obviously part of the call yesterday for the Dodgers game. And I think it's interesting. I'm going to hit you with a hard question out of the gate. I'm sorry to do that. But, you know, we talked to Gary Streisky earlier, who used to work with the Red Sox organization, and he mentioned in talking to me that he didn't feel like Mookie Betts would have felt as comfortable making a statement like kneeling with the Red Sox that he did, obviously, with the Dodgers. Is there something that's been created around different organizations that allows players different level of freedom to feel that they can speak their minds?
I don't think it has as much to do with the organizations, although that definitely plays a part in it, as much as it has to do with maybe the cities and the towns that they play in and the sensibilities of those towns. And I don't need to go on anymore about Boston and its history and how African-American players have spoken out about just how uncomfortable at times they feel playing at Fenway Park. I don't know if that's specifically the case with Mookie Betts, but I think there are a couple of things going on here. I think, yes, your point is valid in that maybe there's more comfort doing something like that in a city like Los Angeles as opposed to Boston. But I think the other thing that we're seeing too is that as we get a little bit more removed from Colin Kaepernick, and specific to baseball, Bruce Maxwell, and coming off George Floyd's death recently, you're seeing these athletes, and I think specifically in baseball, you're seeing them become more emboldened with sort of taking a stance against social injustice and police brutality against people of color in this country. And I think there's no better example of that, to be honest, than Mookie Betts and also his manager, Dave Roberts. Dave Roberts and Mookie Betts were both raised by fathers who served in the military, and they both previously made the statement that they would be against anything but standing at attention during the national anthem, because they felt like to do otherwise would be a disrespect to those who served, because they themselves had fathers who served. Both of them gave voice to the fact yesterday that they've sort of come around and they've educated themselves and they've sort of altered their beliefs in that. And, you know, Dave Roberts made the point yesterday, even though he didn't kneel himself during the anthem, that he's learned that kneeling for social injustice and also respecting the military are not mutually exclusive in this sense. So you're seeing sort of an evolution of that. So yes, the city has something to do with it, but I think just where we are as a society maybe has more to do with it than that.
Well, and that makes tremendous sense. We're talking to ESPN Major League Baseball reporter Alden Gonzalez, and That being said, I feel like the cat's sort of out of the bag. It feels like, as a whole, athletes across all sports are looking around and saying, I want to use my voice for more. Now, we're used to baseball players not necessarily having a ton of voice. That's one of the issues the sport has faced for the last several years. So now that the voice is going to be one that is so charged socially, do you have a sense of how owners feel about finally the players are out there speaking, but they're speaking about issues that may be controversial to their fans?
Yeah, and you know what? I think the owners are in a situation where even if they were against it or didn't like it or didn't like what it did to their revenue streams, there's nothing they could do about it. Because one thing that's been important that's happened recently, and you could say that's financially driven or whatever it is, but Major League Baseball has their support. Major League Baseball has sort of wrapped its arms around this movement, as other professional sports leagues have, including the NFL, in a way that, to be honest, I don't know that I'd ever imagined them doing so. With the video tributes for Black Lives Matter before every game, you're going to see that a lot today. Everybody at the Dodger Stadium last night knelt and held on to a black ribbon before the game. This is not just something that the players are empowered to do right now, but this is also something that has the backing of the league. And to be fair, the league caught a lot of criticism because they were sort of late in releasing a statement and lending its voice after George Floyd's murder. But, you know, they're being aggressive with this, and teams are being aggressive with this. I mean, right before I jumped on with you, I saw the Tampa Bay Rays Twitter feed. I don't know if you saw that, but they said something to the effect that it's opening day and it's time to arrest the people who killed Breonna Taylor. Like, whoa, good for them. I never thought I would see a Major League Baseball franchise put something like that on social media on the day of opening day. But this is where we are. And if you're ownership and you're against it, sorry. I mean, you just need to get out of the way.
Now, the other thing, we're talking to Alden Gonzalez, ESPN Major League Baseball reporter, that seems to be in the way of the Major League Baseball season, obviously, for all of us, is COVID-19. Juan Soto tests positive just hours before the opening game. How concerning is that for Major League Baseball as a whole?
It's incredibly concerning, and it's been the major concern all along, and it's why so many people were skeptical about whether or not we would even get here to opening day. And to be honest, I have the optimism from the people that I speak to since this summer training portion began has intensified a lot. They feel like players have been sort of abiding by the protocol, wearing masks, maintaining social distancing, and it's shown up in the test results. There's been a relatively low number of positive cases ever since baseball restarted. Having said that, though, what's going to happen now is these teams are going to start traveling. And that's where the big risk comes. The NBA is doing a bubble. The NHL is doing two hub cities. Major League Baseball is traveling. And even though the travel might be shorter, it's traveling. And that's where the risk lies. And also the risk lies in just the unexpected. I think Juan Soto was a perfect example of what a lot of teams are going to have to brace for this year, that one day everything's fine, and then all of a sudden the next day a test result comes back and a player tested positive for COVID-19 and he's going to be unavailable for an undetermined amount of time. And that's just what it's going to be. That's why this season is going to be so weird. And that's why everybody keeps basically pounding the same message, which is be comfortable being uncomfortable, because no day is going to be the same in baseball this year.
So let's get into a little, I mean, I could talk to you about this COVID stuff all day, but baseball season has started, Alden, so let's have a little fun and talk a little baseball here. What under the radar team, in your mind, could really shock people with a shortened season?
You know, I keep referencing the same team, and I'm really fascinated by them, and that's the San Diego Padres. I know they play in the same division as the Dodgers, but they obviously expanded the postseason this year. Every second-place team in the division is going to make it, and I look at a lineup with Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr., and that is super impactful. And then I look at their bullpen, and they have a reliever in Kirby Yates, who might be what may be the most dominant reliever in baseball. If not, he's among the top handful. And he could be used, because the season's only 60 games, I mean, you could be a lot more aggressive in how you deploy a guy like that. And then you have this crop of young starting pitchers led by Chris Paddock, who under normal circumstances, they would have been under an innings limit and they would have been very cautious with how they use them over a 6-month season. But when it's 2 months, like, they might be able to just let those guys go. And so I think that's what's going to be fun about this season, is that if they stay healthy and if they stay available, which is obviously the big question, they could really make a lot of noise. In a conventional sense, they'd be like maybe two more years away because they're still so young. But this year, they could really have a big impact.
Talking to Alden Gonzalez, ESPN Major League Baseball reporter. So that's the under-the-radar one, but everybody knows I'm cheap, and I'm looking to jump on a bandwagon. So if I'm only going to buy one hoodie and it's going to be the team I think is going to win it all, who should I buy?
I mean, you got to go with either the Dodgers or Yankees. I know that sounds like the simple answer, but, I mean, it's those two teams and everybody else, because it's not just the star power on both of them. And to be honest, I can't pick between the two. Like, you're just splitting hairs. But it's the star power on those teams. It's the wealth of depth on those teams. And I think depth is going to be incredibly important because of the things that we just talked about. And it's also just the resources that when we get to the trade deadline this year, and I think this year is August 31st or something like that, they can go out and get whoever they want. So if I'm betting on any team, you got to go with those guys. But that's under the caveat that it's a 60-game season. It's almost a third of a season. And, like, I keep going back to how the Dodgers started their season in 2018, how the Nationals started their season in 2019. They were awful. And then they went on to do great things those years. Anything could happen in a 60-game sample size. And I think the biggest challenge for those two teams who are so used to playing in deep into October and who could sort of rely on the 6-month season to sort of correct everything is going to be playing with that heightened sense of urgency early on. And not only that, having to do so without feeding off their fans. And I was at Dodger Stadium yesterday. They might be piping in noise. It's not the same.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Alden Gonzalez. I can't wait to – we're going to have you back on just to talk about what all of that feels like. Alden, I appreciate your time. Appreciate your insight. Stay safe, my friend. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. You too.
Pennzoil synthetic motor oil is made from natural gas. Gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. And some of these broadcasts are already haunting to watch. I can't imagine what it's like to be in the stadium. But you guys are giving me your sales pitch. You've stacked the line, so we'll let you take over. Give me your best sales pitch on why your Major League Baseball team is going to win it all, so I know exactly which bandwagon to jump on. We'll get your take coming in next. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. Presented by Progressive Insurance, I'm Jason Fitz, and it is your turn to chime in. Been asking you guys, been getting a lot of tweets for the Dodgers. I'm looking for which bandwagon I should jump on so that I can go out there and buy championship gear at the end of the year. I mean, let's be clear. This is all about, like, will I look good in the swag and will I be able to buy championship stuff and say that I was a day one? Like, I'll just lie about the day one part, but I need your sales pitch on why your favorite team is going to win it all and I should jump on the bandwagon and do it now. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go to John in New Mexico. John, what you got? What's your take?
I got the Rockies. They got good pitching and they got good hitting and they play in Colorado and they should take advantage of that, but they need to take advantage of all the road wins and start off great. If they don't, they could be in trouble, and I think they should be able to win the division title for the first time ever.
Look, there's a little bit too much fear in your voice for the sales pitch. I mean, I love the passion for the Rockies, and believe me, I love partying in Colorado. But, you know, too much fear in your voice there. I can't go with that pitch. The pitch needs to be stronger. Adam in Iowa, what do you got? Pitch me on your favorite team.
Tampa Bay Rays, for sure. They got a three-headed monster with Morton, Snell, and Glass now. They got the taste of the postseason last year when they took the Astros to 5 and every bit of 7 or 9 innings in that game. They're a young team. They typically don't get a big crowd anyway, so that's not going to be an issue for them. But, yeah, bouncing off last year's success and going forward, the three-headed monster with those three pitchers I think will bode well. They're typically fast starters, so I think don't sleep on the Rays to win it all this year.
That's a hell of a pitch. And, again, the Rays have been in the conversation today for tweeting out today's opening day, which means it's a great day to arrest the killers of Breonna Taylor. Strong statement for an organization. I respect any organization willing to stand up and speak for what they believe in. Let's go to Kyle in California. Kyle, what you got? Give me your sales pitch for your team.
Oh, I'm going to make this easy. So Alton already started this for me. It's the Padres. So I'm going to come in here and close it. So besides what he said, we have veteran pitching that we didn't have last year because they were injured. So that's going to make a good round out. Fitz, you're from Las Vegas, so San Diego's not a far cry. Also, you're a Predators fan. I already know that you already own a yellow hoodie. And you know the Padres are going retro back this year into yellow and brown. So fitting in a yellow hoodie is no thing for you. You don't have to change up your wardrobe. And San Diego, who doesn't love San Diego? You love Nashville, right? San Diego Gas Lamp District. I've been to...
Oh, we're losing him. But let me tell you, that was a hell of a pitch because you're right. I mean, there's a tin roof. Tin roof started in Nashville. Theirs are in San Diego. When I was a kid, we used to go to La Jolla sometimes during the summer and hang out at the beach. And I didn't know they were going retro. What I love about that pitch is that you know me enough to feel like merch needs to be a part of it because let's admit it, like yellow, like I'm cheap so that I can reuse things. That's good. But knowing that it's retro gear. Oh, David in Syracuse, real quick, what you got? What's your favorite? What's your pitch for your favorite team?
As everybody knows, Syracuse isn't far from Buffalo, so I was going to go with Milwaukee because that's my team. But I am now a Buffalo Blue Jays fan. All right? They're a little bit sneaky this year because a lot of teams are making the playoffs. We got more than half the league making the playoffs. So I know that you want to go with a winner, which is obviously the Astros, the Dodgers, the Yankees. But three games, anything can happen. So all three of those teams could very well go out in the first round. So let me make my pitch for the Buffalo Blue Jays. They're a little bit sneaky, okay? They have a somewhat underrated rotation. They got Rue starting out. He was a Dodgers legend for a few years. Ken Giles closing the games for them. Their bullpen, a few no-names, but they got Ken Giles, closer with the Astros for a few years when they were good. And they got the baby Blue Jays who are used to that stadium in Buffalo. So when other teams are coming in, all those
players... Oh, see, that's a good point. And I got to cut you off. We're up against it. But that's a good point that the baby Blue Jays are used to that stadium. Look at that. Y'all are the smartest, man. Like, it's great to be able to just take a breath and talk about baseball knowing that we've got something. And I keep saying this to everybody. It's easy to look at these seasons and say, well, how long will it last? Don't. Just spend some time enjoying what we actually get, which is finally the return of sports all across the board. ESPN Radio Afternoon coming up next. Jen Latta, Alyssa Lang, check them out.